You know, and as Pastor Miriam was sharing about that story with the young lady, I was thinking back to a young man who started coming here probably close to 40 years ago. He was a young guy, homeless. His parents had abandoned him and went to Florida, left him here, alcohol, drugs, and everything. And we did all we could. I even contacted Pastor Jimmy back then, got him into Teen Challenge. He left, got him into Teen Challenge again. He left, got him into other programs. He left. He had like a vagabond spirit on him. He just wanted to live on the street. But the reason I'm saying this is you never know if you're going to be the one that touches that one individual life. There may have been people after people after people. You tried, and you finally say, well, there's nothing else. Just to give you an idea, after all those years, the last I heard, he's living down in Florida, has a job, going to church. He's clean. He's no longer on drugs or anything. So although we may have said, well, we failed, we got him into Teen Challenge twice, didn't work, whatever. Someone somewhere at some time had the perfect word for him, and it did the trick when the on-time God came along. So you never know. Don't despair if you speak to somebody and they just brush you off, curse you out, whatever the case may be. You never know. Amen? A quick announcement. Our school, for those of you who may not even know, we have a school downstairs. We are preparing for our new school year. We are renovating the place, painting and changing and switching rooms and upgrading and doing all kinds of work. And, talk about the on-time God. I'm still the principal of the school. Sooner or later, I'll be handing it over to Pastor Jimmy. But, I always worry this time of year for enrollment for the coming year. And as we were going into June and July, I'm saying, wow, we don't have enough enrollment. We have commitments here. But as of last week, all of a sudden, the phone starts ringing. Now, I'm looking at, I may have to hire another teacher. Because there's more kids coming in than I thought we were going to have come in. But I'm saying all of that to let you know that we're for the school. We're going to be having a fundraiser lunch on Saturday, August 9th, from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. That's Saturday, August 9th, 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. for our Copay Christian Academy downstairs to help towards all this renovation, the materials, all we're doing downstairs. So if you're available on that date at that time, come on down. Any way you can help bless the school. We want to see, our vision is to see this school grow. There was a time we used to go up to eighth grade, had as many as almost 140 students here. Now we're preschool through second grade, okay? Because over the years we've had to make modifications and changes depending on what's going on in society. So just support the school, pray for the school, amen? I was texting back and forth with Pastor Jimmy this morning. And, he's down in Virginia. He's ministering this weekend at a particular place down in Virginia. So as we were leaving, and he says, I'll be praying for the service. And I says, well, what can we pray for you for? And he says, just pray for a powerful, divine anointing.
Amen.
What more could you ask for? So, Father, we come before you right now, and we lift up Pastor Jimmy. He may be bringing the word even right now. And I pray for a powerful, divine anointing to fall upon him, Lord, that he would be the one to bring the word. Amen. For some individual or individuals there that have perhaps heard it time and time again, but this would be the time that divine anointing would break through, touch their lives, change their lives, not for an hour and a half, but for eternity, Lord. Amen. That he would be the catalyst that brought the word, that brought them to the place of total surrender unto you, Lord. And now as we go into our service, I pray that same prayer for Pastor Diane as she brings forth this word, Lord, that a powerful, divine anointing would fall upon her, Lord, that every word she brings forth, Lord, would touch our hearts, change our lives. And like I said, not for a moment, not for an hour, but for an eternity, that something would stick with us, that would change our place, our position in God. Father, we thank you for this morning's service. I pray your blessing upon each one that's here this morning and for the remainder of this service in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Pastor Diane, come on up.
I think I'm on. No? Yes?
Yes.
I can't tell.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, it sounds like it.
Thank you, thank you. Oh, praise God. I just wanted to ask, first of all, if anyone is here for the first time. Is there anyone here for the first time? Oh, yes. We welcome you. So happy you're here. Oh, praise God. Pastor Jimmy Jack's sermon. I hope he didn't forget anything. Too late now, huh? This will be done. Pastor Jimmy is such a blessing to so many. And I could just see him. It's a men's conference, and I can just see him, you know, just preaching out his heart and getting so excited and having that joy, you know, of the Lord. And that joy has given him strength. Can't you just see him ministering right now? And men's hearts opening up and softening, and maybe some are getting delivered. And, oh, God, thank you so much, Lord. And meanwhile, we miss him here, but we know he's off about a good work. So I wanted to talk this morning about about saying to each one of us to look up, for your redemption is drawing near. How many of us feel that in our hearts, in our minds, that our redemption, like the Lord is going to come back for us soon? How many feel like that? Amen. Amen. And God's got it all planned. Amen. Now, I want to read a scripture to begin with in Luke chapter 21. Verse 28. I'll read verse 27. It's 21:27 in Luke. It says that then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now, when these things begin to happen, look up and lift up your heads, because your redemption draws near. So there are signs taking place in the sun, in the moon, in the stars, as this verse 25 mentions. And things are going to get fearful for those that don't know the Lord. Even it says that some of the men's hearts will fail them. And yet we're carrying a lantern of light, of truth, for the world, for a dark place. We have the light. We are the light of the world. Jesus is the light of the world. And because he's in us, we have that light to bring that light into the darkness, to speak to people. First of all, I think we have to ask God to give us such a love for the unsaved, such a love for the world. We have to ask God, give us such a love that there would be like a fire burning in our souls, that when we speak to people, they will sense the love of God. And because they sense the love of God, they will know that we're speaking truth. They will know that we're speaking truth. And when these things begin to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption is drawing near. You know, a storm is coming. And a lot of our preachers, I remember going all the way back through the years, speaking about a storm coming. So I think things are going to get kind of rough here on the earth. The Lord has to do what he has to do. Amen? But God can give us peace in the eye of the storm, in the center of the storm. That's where we live. in the center of the storm. We're not going to be blown around by the wind. But we can stand in the center of what God is doing, even though it may look fearful, it may look horrible. Knowing the Lord, knowing the Prince of Peace, knowing our Savior, we can stand in the eye of the storm, where with every bad storm like that, you can read about there's the center of the storm where there's peace. Where there is peace. And that's our place. And that is the place where we can show the world who we really are. Oh, come on. I know that if it wasn't for the Lord living in me, I'm not anything special. But we have the Spirit of the living God in us, moving and taking over our being. And we have so much to offer the world. We have so much to offer the unsaved. Oh, that we could be that light shining in the center of that storm. So, you know what? We have to keep our minds and our hearts polished. We have to know what time is it. We have to know what's going on around us so that we are aware of how to minister to people that have not accepted the Lord, that are living in darkness, that are living in fear. To be aware of what needs to be said or done from moment to moment. To be awake in the Lord. God has a calling on our lives. You know, we may not be able to sing, or we may not be able to do whatever a lot of people do in the church, but we all are called to spread the gospel. And we all are called to love the world. For God so loved the church. Yes? No, that's not what it says, though. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Amen? And we have to ask God to give us a love for the world, for the unsaved. And when the storms come, that they would see us like, what is different about you? How come you're strong? Or how come you have peace? And we have to be ready. But we have to let our light shine. And Father, we ask, Lord God, that we can be a reflection of light, of who you are, oh God, that the world would see us, that even in terrible times they will come to us, maybe knocking on our door, or maybe coming to us and saying, but why are you so strong? But why are you still smiling? Why are you still happy? Because we know where we're going. They need to know that eternity is real. They need to know that heaven is real. They need to know that hell is real. Amen? A storm is coming, and God can keep us in the peace in the eye of the storm. You know, in large hurricanes and tornadoes, there's the central point that is called the eye. And it's the place where everything is calm. Kind of crazy. You know what I'm saying? There's a place in the midst of the wind and the rain and the sound and the fear. There's a place. And that's the place that we are called to live in. If we keep our eyes and our hearts on the Lord, we will stay in that place. As soon as you take your eyes off the Lord, the goodness of God, as soon as we do that, we can fall apart just like everybody else. But to keep our eyes on him, our Savior, the one that leads us through the storm, the one who calms the storm, the one that we have our breath and our life and our heartbeat, let's not ever be moved out of that place, people, brothers and sisters. And I'm speaking to myself. I want to live in the eye of the storm, where everything is calm. And the word of God says in Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3, you, God, will keep him, us, in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Isaiah 26, 3. Now that is a promise, that is a statement. It's a holy manifestation here that I'm talking about, that he will keep us in perfect peace if we keep our mind stayed on him, on God, on Jesus, on the Holy Spirit. Really? That's the Trinity? We don't need anything else. As things get worse in this world, don't get caught up in the details. Soon, you will be caught up and away. You know how close we are to the rapture? Wow. I thought we were close 2-3 years ago. 2 years ago, a year ago. We are close to the rapture, where God is going to call. Amen. Our spiritual ears will hear a spiritual sound, the sound of the trumpet call. And all of a sudden, we're going to meet the Lord in the air and forever be with him. Glory to God. I got the chills. That's the Holy Spirit. Such truth. Such truth that sets us free. Hold on. Your redemption is drawing near. Caught up and away. How many of you believe we are living in the last hour? How many? 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Okay, there's more, I'm sure. We are living in the last days. And you know, I've said this so many times, but it blows me away each time I think of it, that we were called, I was called, you were called for this very hour. You know, that tells me that God promises strength for the hour. Strength and anointing for the hour. It's wonderful. Yes. Yes. Okay. End time people. There is a God of peace. Not as the world gives. He gives us peace. Isaiah 26:3, whose mind is stayed on God. You will keep him, her, in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on him, because you trust in him. Father, give us such a trust. When things grow dark, windy, people get weary. No, God. We should be preparing now with the help of the Holy Spirit for those times to come. And then, you know, when there was COVID, remember COVID, and everyone was at home and people going out with the masks, and even some people were driving with the masks on, if that's what they felt they had to do. But I remember going for a walk around my block. And everything was like quiet and shut in, shut down. You know what I'm saying? There was no children. No children were playing in the streets. And doors were closed and everything. And I was saying, oh, my God, when the wind really begins to blow, what is it going to be like? What is it going to be like? And I remember telling you this before. I said, Lord, I just want to speak to somebody. Just want to go outside, go in the street and speak to somebody. Give me somebody to talk to about the Lord. And so I went outside and I started walking and I heard, hi. And I looked and there was a woman coming down the street. She said, hi. I said, hi. Oh, God, you work so quickly. And I got to pray with her. I got to pray over her. And she was moving upstate New York, I believe. She was moving the following weekend. So here, in just the end of the time that she would be on Long Island, I got to speak to her and pray. And that is, in the last hour, as the days grow darker, we will be brighter. We will be glowing. And we will be like a magnetic field. People are going to... What...
Testing.
Are we good? Wow. What a magnetic field. Wow.
our Lord. Have your way with all of us, Lord God. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 9. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. The peace of God coming down on us. I believe there's an end time peace. I really do. I really do. I've seen it for years, and it's coming. And then the Word of God says to meditate on these things. I can do all things in Christ Jesus who strengthens me. Amen? All things that God calls me to do, I can do. And He will strengthen us. That's why we stay in the Word, because it's food for your brain. The Word is food for your mind. You have to stay in the Word. You know, when I read the Word a lot, I feel joy, more peace, more strength. And I'm inclined to His presence more. When I get really, really busy and things going on and 3-4 days a week maybe goes by, I don't feel the same. I don't. It's like I have not had my meals. I have not had, you know, that particular fellowship with the Lord. So it is this time, this hour on the earth, there's a calling for us to be in the Word and to dig, because you could go deeper. You can go deeper and deeper and deeper in the Word. And that's where God wants His end time saints to be. Good for our minds. There is a prince called the Prince of Peace. And Jesus said, "My peace I give you," in John 14:27. This is a message of comfort, reassurance spoken by Jesus to His disciples that night before the crucifixion. So the night before the crucifixion, this is what Jesus said, "My peace I give you." He was giving them the gift of peace. He wasn't leaving them empty-handed. He was leaving them, but He was leaving them with an anointed peace that the world doesn't know. And when He died on that cross and all of the blood came out of Him, all of those blessings came out for the church. There's life in the blood. Abundant. Amen. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in me. You know, all of the gifts of the Spirit are gifts. And I believe that there are people here that don't know all of the gifts that you have been given. And I believe that that has to be awakened inside of you. You are gifted people. I go to prepare a place for you, prepare heaven for you, prepare a garden for you, prepare a city for you, prepare a kingdom for you. I go to prepare it, my Lord, so that where I am, you shall be also. We can't imagine when we all get to heaven what we will experience. Ultimate peace. Peace that passes understanding. So we can't even understand it. But we have so much waiting for us. The goodness of the Lord. And we will be in the land of the living with Him. Amen. That's all familiar. God's kingdom will come to the earth. There will be a physical resurrection. It awaits us. Heaven is a physical, tangible place with a garden, with cities, with a kingdom, with buildings, with banquets. That's a real place. I wonder if there'll be a pre-trib rapture, a rapture before the tribulation. I wonder. I don't know. And you know what? I don't really go there with the Lord. Because whatever it is good. You understand what I'm saying? But I do feel, you know, an earnest knowing that the Lord is preparing right now to come back. Pre-trib rapture. It's sound doctrine, but we really don't know. All creation moans for the sons of God to be revealed. All creation moans for the sons of God. Are you a son of God? Oh, not too many hands went up. Are you a believer? Then you're a son of God. And creation itself, the earth itself, the trees, creation itself is actually moaning, waiting to see the sons of God. People may not know about the sons of God, but all creation knows. You know, I think that we have a very powerful future because we are very powerful people. Very powerful. And I believe that God is, your anointings and your giftings are going to be so multiplied very soon. Would you like that? Amen. 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 I love the gift of knowledge. When you can just look at a person and you know certain things. And you can go over and minister to that person. And they will say, you know, I haven't told anyone. Yes, that's exactly how I'm feeling or whatever. But it's the Spirit of God. It's the Spirit of God. He wants to move so freely through us and amongst us. And you know what? The best thing we could do is keep our eyes on these things that I'm talking about. Don't fall asleep. Don't. Be awake. Be aware. Know that God wants to use you. And every single one of you, you could be as quiet as a mouse. But you've got great anointings, great giftings in you. Stir up the gifts within you. Come on, people. Let's get ready for what's coming. Amen. Let's get ready. All creation moans for the sons of God to be revealed. Worship and the word is our strength. Worship and the word. You get yourself, especially in the New Testament, and you begin reading. And you begin reading about everything Jesus did and everything Jesus said. Because when he said it to that particular people, group of people in that hour, he is saying it to you today. Joy is given by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is our partner. Speak to the Holy Spirit. Speak to him. Talk to him. Get conversation going with the Spirit of God. Sometimes we talk to ourselves. Why do we do that? But in everything, walking around your house, driving the car, at work, keep that connection with the Spirit of God. When you speak to him, your ears will be fine-tuned to hear his voice. And I'll tell you, he is key to the end times for everyone. He is the power. He is the authority. He is the covering. He is the one that will lead us and guide us into all truth. He's the one that will anoint us and anoint us and anoint us. So begin. If you don't speak to the Holy Spirit, and you just pray to him, hey, that's good to pray to him. Why not? But Speak to him as though he is your best friend. Because you know something? He really is. It's the truth. He really is. And he will guide you into all truth. There's so many lies today in this hour. Oh my gosh. You put the TV on, you listen to the news, you can't believe everything you're hearing. But the Spirit of God speaks with truth that will set not only you free, but the truth that will set others free. So make it your business to speak and to walk with the Holy Spirit. Like that book that was written, he would wake up in the morning and say, "Good morning, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, be with the family. Be with all of us. Draw us closer." And speak to him. You have a problem? Speak to him. Pray to God in the name of Jesus. Open your ears to the Spirit's voice. You will start knowing that was the voice of God. That wasn't. Because there's a fine tuning. When you want to hear the Holy Spirit and be led by the Holy Spirit, and you have a thirst and a hunger for that, God will supply the knowing, the hearing. So I'm talking to you because I really feel that we have to come to an hour of an awakening. I really do feel that. You know, we get so busy with life. We come on a Sunday. We go home. We get a meal. We do this. We do that. But I think that we have to get in that place alone with God, because God wants to do so much to you and through you. And we don't want to miss it. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. 1 Thessalonians, I'm going to look that up. Chapter 4. Finally, then, brethren, we urge and should, finally, my brother, we urge and exhort in the Lord Jesus that you should abound more and more, just as you received from us how you ought to walk and to please God, but that you would abound more and more, walking in an increase. For God did not call us to uncleanness, but in holiness. Therefore, he who rejects this does not reject man, but God, who has also given us the Holy Spirit. His Holy Spirit, it says. But concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. And indeed, you do so toward all the brethren who are in Macedonia. But we urge you, brethren, that you increase more and more, that you also aspire to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your hands as we commanded you, that you may walk properly toward those who are outside, and that you may lack nothing. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. So some in the church have fallen asleep. Some in the church will fall asleep. It is our appointed calling to pray for others, stay alert, aware, and to pray for others. Maybe someone that used to come here is not coming any longer, or God put somebody on your heart. It could even be a stranger. It could be someone in the supermarket that you lay your eyes on. Pray. God wants us to continually pray. And you know what? If you're aware of the Lord, and you have to ask him, "Father, give me such an awareness that I would know how to pray and who to pray for." You know, we often will sit And if you have children, you're going to pray for your children. You're going to pray for your grandchildren. If you have a son or a daughter that's on drugs or, you know, you're going to pray for them. Of course, you're going to pray for them. But you know something? If you could visualize your prayers falling on them, and heaping up more and more, coming down on them. And if you can visualize what God is going to do because of your prayers, keep that before you as you pray. God has plans for even the weakest person or the person that has fallen away from God. He still has plans of calling and love for that person. Let's pray more. Let's pray. You know, the disciples prayed without ceasing. Paul prayed without stopping. How did he do that? He fell asleep praying. He woke up praying. Is that what it was? He walked with the Holy Spirit. And he was sensitive to the Spirit of God, to the living Spirit. He was sensitive. Do you know that the Holy Spirit mourns? That the Holy Spirit cries? Do you know that? To be so sensitive, maybe, to hear that in the spiritual realm? We are partners with the Spirit of God. But I think that we fall asleep too easily. You know, we get so involved in other things, or we have such busy lives or whatever. But you know, first thing in the morning, call upon God. Call upon Jesus. Jesus, I want to walk with you this morning. I want to walk with you, Father, in the garden today. That's what God wanted. That's what the Father wanted. He made Adam, and what did he want? He wanted to walk with him in the garden, walking, being one, having that communication and that closeness and that oneness. God still wants that. Jesus wants that. And we all have it to some limit. But it's time now to go past all the limits. It's time now to reach as high as we can, as strong as we can, to pray as much as we can. This is why we are here, and we have been chosen to be here at this time. The world is falling apart. Things are getting worse. Darkness is coming over on the land, and we are the light of the world. Stay awake. It's so beautiful because one of the scriptures says, you ought to walk and to please God, to walk in holiness, and that's close to the Holy Spirit. And it says, and he rescues us, the church, from the coming wrath. Now, what is the church? Think about that. I'm going to give you homework. Ask God, what is the end time church? What does the true church look like? And then press in to the mark of the high calling in Christ. There's so much more. Are we getting this? He will rescue us from the coming wrath. We are loved and chosen to receive God's joy. And the joy of the Lord is our strength. We are empowered. We are comforted. We are convicted. We are not condemned. We have tasted and embraced the love of God. Think about it. Think about it. We have tasted, hallelujah, and embraced as he embraces us. We have embraced it. We know the love of God. There are other religions that people go to church and, you know, they do all these things and do what they're told. But do they really know the love of God? To the born-again Christian, God has opened our eyes and opened our ears and opened our hearts and opened our arms to know the voice of God and truth. Truth that will set us free from everything that has held us back. There's no holding back. Each one of you are so powerful. So powerful. And you have your own personal anointings. So powerful are you. God, what are you calling me to do? Because there's a call on each one of our lives. Amen? We are empowered. We are comforted by the Lord. We are convicted by the Holy Spirit. We are not condemned. We have tasted and embraced the love of God. People that just have religion, they know, they've heard that God loves us. God loves them. But they really felt that love? Do they really know that love? We do. Because the Spirit of God lives within us. And the Spirit of God stirs that up within us. And when we read the Word, so much jumps out at us. God is talking to us personally. Personally. When we read the Word. And some of us, we come to church and maybe we bring the Bible, maybe we don't, maybe we, you know, look up the scriptures on our phones or whatever, and some of us just go home and put our Bibles down, and then maybe pick it up again a couple of days later, or maybe not, just pick it up to go to church again. Get in the Word. Get in the Word of God, because the Word is your deliverance. The Word is your health. The Word brings a clear, crisp, clean mind. The Word is your power. It's your authority. It's your anointing. You understand? End time church, God's got so much more for you and for me. So much more. Let's go after it. Why should we settle for less? Amen. Harden not your hearts. That's something that keep your hearts soft. Very soft. For the things of God, for the love of God, for God. Keep your hearts tender and soft. We can be strong-minded. We can love God with such a strong, strong love. But remember, keep your heart soft. Don't let your heart harden, even through disappointment. Even when we cry, what does the Bible say? He collects every tear and puts them in a jar. What kind of God do we serve? How much does God love us? What kind of plans does God have for us in the future? What will we be doing in God's kingdom? He's got so much for us. So very much. The Lord himself will rescue us in the twinkling of an eye from what is coming upon the world. All of a sudden, the church is going to be missing. What do you think that's going to look like? Havoc? I think that people are going to get so stirred up that they're going to be screaming out for Jesus, for God. Imagine. It's in the book. It's going to happen. And those people that you've prayed for and you didn't see the fruit of your prayers, all of a sudden, those prayers that you prayed before you left the earth are going to hit those people, slam dunk right into those people. So you see, we have to know the power that we have. We have to know the spiritual influence that we have. We have to know who we are in Christ. We have to know why we are here in this hour for him. Don't fall asleep. Keep your minds alert, aware, acute. Keep your minds alive and listen for the voice of God. He will speak to you. In a twinkling of an eye, from what is coming upon the world, the Lord himself will come. He will take us, and he will wipe away every tear from every eye. He shall snatch us away. Isaiah 26, verse 3. You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever. The Lord is everlasting. His everlasting strength. And everything he's allowing us to go through down here now is for a reason, for us to bear fruit. And that fruit is for others. For our own lives, because every time we bear fruit, you understand what I mean by bearing fruit? Being able to speak to someone with an anointing, they come to the Lord, anything like that. You're bearing fruit. And it's not just for us, it's for others. Long ago, people believed their redemption was drawing near. And I know that I've read like little booklets and different books that people, you know, like 100 years ago, they used to go in people's basements and they would get on their faces and they would pray and they would cry and cry and cry and they would leave stains on the floor. And they were praying for us, for this generation too, because we are part of the last generation. And all of those prayers, that foundation that was laid for us not to fall asleep, but to be awake, to fine-tune his voice, to get to know him, to get to know what he's calling you to do or what he's calling you to pray for. Be alive in Christ and in the power of his might. That's the church. That's the church on fire. Don't fall asleep. He's working on us, on our hearts. Amen? We have to have the same heart as Jesus. He wants a whole lot of Jesuses running around on the earth. And then the fullness of our salvation will come when we see him. The fullness of our salvation. When we see him. And the word says that you will look at him face to face. That time is coming. I don't think Jesus has to say a sound. All he has to do with those piercing eyes, just look at us. And the love that will come into us. We will never, ever, ever be the same again. Amen. Amen. You know, why did things take so long? Even the way we change, we move from glory to glory, moment to moment. Why did things change so long? It's like your whole life, you know. But that's because God doesn't want robots. He wants personal experiences for each one of us. And we grow out of those experiences. And we are changed. And we are changed. And we are changed. The word goes deeper and deeper. You can read this and read it over and over and over. Read the same book over and over and over. And the depth and the wisdom and the love and the holiness. It's just layer upon layer upon layer upon layer for us. God wants us to have the same heart as Jesus. And the fullness of our salvation will come when we see him. And we shall be like him. So the Holy Spirit is working on us. Sometimes we have tough times to go through. Sometimes we picture something one way and it's not like that. And we could be sorry or feel sad about it. But God is working. Everything that we go through, God is working. God is working. I had shingles for 6 weeks, 7 weeks. What was it? And I did a lot of sitting. I'm not someone that likes to sit. I like to move and, you know, get things done. But I had a lot of time.
And I thought to myself, even though I feel really sick, but I don't want to waste this time. Time is so precious, and things are moving on so quickly. So, Lord, what are you saying to me in this hour? What are you saying to me? You're keeping me home, and you're keeping me on the couch day after day after day after day. And what I can say, I could speak about a couple of things, but one thing that I feel very strong at that time is God was letting me know how late we are in the hour. Do you understand what I'm saying? And no? I saw like one hand. How late the hour is to wake up, to stay awake. And it's not hard to walk with the Lord. Amen? Moment by moment. If we keep him in the forefront of our minds, and all of a sudden, things just happen. Although you feel like you planned them, they just come together and they just happen. Walking with the Lord. And you know, like I said, that's really all God wanted from Adam. He made him, and he just wanted to walk with him. Companionship. God wants to open up our eyes so that we see him more clearly as time goes on. We could never see the fullness of who he is, but he will let us see him more and more, because that will draw us closer. Now, we're the church, so if we're not thinking about these things and we're not going after him, then you know what? Are we really the church? Are we really the end time church? Think of it again. I've said it so many times. You could have lived, been born 100 years ago. But now as we see everything coming together, what's getting worse? The world, as we see, I mean, I can mention things, but I don't want our minds to go there. We were called to such a time, to such an hour as this. Ask God for more love for him and for people in this hour. So we are to becoming more and more like him. And I believe that we are. We're becoming more mindful of him. Keep your lamp burning with plenty of love. That's the oil. To me, that's the oil. Plenty of love for him. And Colossians 1, verses 21 to 23. This passage emphasizes the need to continue in the faith, to be presented holy and blameless before God. So one day, we're going to stand before God. I think we all have heard that before. But to be found holy and blameless, if it's in here, it's possible. John MacArthur, we all know John MacArthur. He just went home to be with the Lord. He said, it is possible to lose assurance through persistent, unrepentive sin and hardening of the heart against God. So persistent, unrepentive sin hardens the heart, and we can lose that assurance that we have with God. And you know the devil is about to work, right? But thank God through Jesus Christ that the Holy Spirit is about our work. Stay awake. And those things that God wants to do in us and through us will be done. Depending upon your personal relationship with Jesus Christ, and according to the Bible, it's the only way to heaven. Because when we die, you go out of the presence forever, or you go into the presence forever.
as what John MacArthur was saying. Either you go out of the presence of God forever, or you go into the presence of the God of God forever. Only through faith in Jesus Christ. The body decays, your spirit goes into the presence of God. Or we're all waiting for that return of the Lord, or the final resurrection. There will be a resurrection of all the bodies in the end. Life or damnation. Amen. Souls will come out of the graves. Amen. Do you believe that? The day is coming. Do you believe that the Lord's return or our rapture is coming soon? I got two. I got a head that was shaking up and down, and I got an amen. The rest of you don't believe? Maybe we'll go back to the beginning of the Bible. What should we do? God is about to work. God has such purpose in his heart. God has such love for his children. He can't wait to fill heaven with all of us because he wants to be with us. Amen? That final resurrection. There would be a resurrection of all the bodies in the end, life or damnation. So important to pray for the unsaved. It's so important. It's so easy for us to pray for our own children, pray for the people that we love, but the unsaved, we have to have a fire and pray for the unsaved. Amen. I believe that when we pray wholeheartedly with a fear of God for the unsaved, that angels are being released. Do you believe that? You know, the Catholics, I was a Catholic once, access to the Father only through Mary. It's so sad. There's so many beautiful people trapped in that belief. It's so sad. No grace without the intercession of Mary is what they believe. I have their books. Jesus said, you go directly to the Father in his name. Amen. And the truth sets us free. The closer you get to God, the more sinful you're going to feel. The closer we get to a holy God, we see, you know, like a mirror, and that's okay. That's a good thing. Peter said, Lord, depart from me, for I am a sinful man. Peter, in the Word of God. We must confess our sins to God, and he will forgive us and cleanse us. He provided the blood of Jesus Christ, the life eternal in the blood, for you as a gift for you. And you have to receive that. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16, speaks of the mind of Christ. As Christian believers, we have to access to the mind of Christ. We have the access to the mind of Christ through the Holy Spirit. We have wisdom, discernment, understanding, and these gifts the world cannot grasp or understand. In Isaiah 40, verse 13, yet in Christ we are invited to have fellowship with the Spirit of the Lord. In Christ we are invited to have fellowship with the Spirit of the Lord. Intimate fellowship. The more we surrender our thoughts and yield to him, the more our minds are renewed. And we need that. We need that washing and the renewal of the mind. That full maturity to fall on the church. And to have the mind of Christ, to know what is important to God. Help us not to lean on our own understanding, but to think beyond and to live in step with the Spirit. Let my thoughts be governed by truth, love, and purity. Teach me to discern your will and walk in it daily. In Jesus' name. Amen. I want to think like Jesus. What's important to God, to Jesus, to the Holy Spirit, I want that to become imperative to me. So important. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep reading, especially like I said, the New Testament, over and over and over. Go deeper and deeper, another layer and another layer, where you can see him. And when you see him, you will be like him. The more we see him, the more we will be like him until we are face to face. And the word of God says, once we are face to face with Jesus, we will be like him, like completely like him. That's where we're going, and that's our goal. What a day of rejoicing there will be when we all see Jesus. We'll sing and shout the victory. Jesus' ultimate sacrifice. Our sins are paid for. Paid in full. Satan may accuse, but we know that Jesus said when he hung on that cross, it is finished. To me, that also means you are completely covered. You are completely covered. Let every drop come out of my body. The life is in the blood, and may it come to you. In John chapter 19, verse 30, it says, so when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, it is finished. It stands complete. And bowing his head, he gave up the spirit. And that spirit came to the earth. For us. This was done in the sight of all his enemies, his family, his friends, in the sight of the Holy Spirit, in the sight of the holy angels, and his Father in heaven. What an awesome God we serve. He said, Jesus said, my food, what I live on, what I need for life, is to do the will of the one who sent me and to bring his work to completion. And he left that with us. That's John 4, chapter 4, verse 34. I have brought your glory on earth, Jesus said, by finishing the work you gave me to do. He spoke that to the Father. I've brought your glory down. I finished the work you gave me to do. And he cried out, it is finished. Isaiah 40, verse 8. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Okay, I'm going to stop there. Would you stand with me? If you want prayer, come up. Come up. And some of us will pray over you, speak over you, okay, proclaim over you. This is church. If you would like prayer, come up. Come up.
I think God just wants you to know that he has seen you today. He knows who you are. He knows where you live. He knows the desires of your heart. And he's working it out. He's working it out. I've had that word for so many up here this morning. To know that he knows what's going on in your life. He hasn't turned a deaf ear. And he's going to work it out according to his plan, his purpose, his will, in his time, and in his way. Amen? Amen. So you can go from this place in peace knowing that he's got it all under control. Amen? Amen. So be let go. Be free. You can be dismissed if you want. Your cafe is open. Join us in there for some fellowship. But just know that God has it under control.